Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And boy, I think I'm going to do this. I haven't done this in a very long time. But I'm going to open the phone lines and take calls the entire second hour. What do you think of that style?
Let's do it.
All right. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Shadow leftist organization is accused of committing large-scale Democratic voter fraud in Michigan. Well, what's new? What's new there? A shadow leftist group is committing large-scale voter fraud in Michigan. The far-left group, the Voter Project Michigan, is sending blank absentee ballot applications to tens of thousands of Michigan voters who did not request them in the mail. Along with a Michigan ballot application, the recipients receiving a message from soulless Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and a letter promoting Democratic communist causes. The suspicionist far-left group Voter Project Michigan does not have a website. Its address is listed below. And anyhow, I don't want to give it out over the air. Dexter is northwest of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Here is a copy of the letter and the ballot sent out by the Voter Project Michigan. And I'm looking at the copy, but here. It says, here's the letter from Gretchen Whitmer. I have the goods again. It's time for a bit personal. My son just got his driver's license and is off to college. 2 days ago, we received... No, this is from somebody else here. I'm looking the way that they have this. They have the form here, but it's the ballot, and because it's a printout, it shows you the top of the paper. It says Voter Michigan Project, but then there's a letter from Gretchen Whitmer, and I really can't... Maybe that's... Okay, maybe the letter's on the next page. Let me see here very quickly if that's the letter there. Well, anyhow, I'll get back to this later. We have a caller. Who do we have?
We have Debbie in North Royalton.
Okay, let's go to North Royalton with Debbie.
Hey, Pastor.
Hey, Debbie.
I'll tell you something. I was watching, I try not to watch slow Joe Biden, but tonight he was on with a press conference or a news conference or something, and Calamity was on with him, and they were trying to say how there's all these Trump is pushing these conspiracy theories and misinformation and disinformation. Okay, here's what I want to tell people to do. On this past Sunday, I spent several hours on YouTube. And I had Googled, or, you know, I searched for, rather, Hurricane Helene, North Carolina. And all you have to do is sit there and watch people in their own words that live there. And they're telling what their experiences are. And then you just match it up to what Slow Joe says. And there's no comparison. They're telling the truth, and he's lying. And all you have to do is just go watch them for yourself. I watched one video, and there was this guy that almost broke down crying. He couldn't even get the words out that there was a mother and her two children that they found up in a tree, apparently dead, after the floodwaters receded. And the way they found them was there was a bear eating their remains. Those are the kind of stories that you get on YouTube from the people that are there. So I'm just saying, don't believe your lying eyes, people. Don't believe what Slow Joe's selling. Are you there?
Well, Pastor Sanders, if you can hear me, it looks like we're having a little bit of trouble communicating here. You might want to...
I hear you now. I didn't hear you before.
Well, we're not getting Pastor through on the station here from his unit at his house. So if you can hear me, maybe... we got you back?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, we couldn't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
You're loud and clear now.
Can you?
We can hear you now.
Okay. I don't know what happened there. Something's going on here anyhow.
Because media doesn't want to
I was hearing Debbie. Well, you're not kidding about that.
They jam us anyhow. Because they don't want people knowing the truth. They cut out your station. They do it all the time.
You notice, you're absolutely right. When I'm watching Fox News, now, when Fox News comes on, whenever they have someone who's in there breaking a story, Josh Hawley or whatever, or especially when it's Donald Trump, it starts breaking up and breaking up. It doesn't. You turn the stations, and it's not happening on other stations, but it's happening there with him all the time.
I can't tell you how many times your station drops when your program's on. And there's a couple of other ones.
I've had the different. I've had the different station managers from all over tell me that it only happens usually. There's only the other one is when the ACLJ would come on. The same thing would happen to them, but they said usually it's just our program that it happens to.
Yeah, Soros probably has your button and knows how to push it.
All right.
Well, I just want to tell people if they didn't hear me, tell Soros, them on YouTube and watch those videos for themselves.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible thing. There's people up in the mountains in North Carolina. See, folks that live way up in the mountains, they always think that they're safe. You know, we're safe. We're not gonna flood up here in the mountains and that. But then they find out, no, you're not so safe at all. When a hurricane comes through, you have mudslides, and then pretty soon you have no power. You're up in the mountains, and guess what happens? Your roads got washed away. So the only way people can get in there is by helicopter and that. And others, you know, there's been people actually having mules, packing and bringing food up into the mountains there in North Carolina. And there's some terrible stories coming out of there. You're right. But
what do you say we take another call?
Thanks for sharing that, Debbie. Let's do that. Okay, go ahead. Who do we have?
We have Joe and Charlotte.
Hey, Brother Sanders. God bless you, brother.
Hey, Joe, you're in the air.
Hey, brother. God bless you.
You too,
brother
Joe.
Sanders.
How are things where you're at?
Well, where I'm good, I live in Rockville, about 30 miles north of Charlotte. I encourage the people to give. I'm going to give you some people outfit that's real good in helping. They're in King, North Carolina, which is, you know, sort of probably maybe an hour from Asheville. But their website, I've already have give to them. The website is Dogwood Disaster Relief Incorporated. Dogwood Disaster Relief
Dogwood.
Incorporated. They're in King, North Carolina. And they're a real solid boots on the ground.
Do you have a phone number for them?
No, but wait a minute, hold on.
Do you have a phone number for them?
Hold on. Let me look here. Yeah, phone number.
Yeah, this is where people have been. Yeah, go ahead.
304 9003.
All right, very good.
And,
maybe we might get them on the air here and have them. All right, very good. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and, good solid boots on the ground, people.
Do you have early voting where you're at?
What, brother?
Good. Yeah, that's what we need. We need boots on the ground. And like I said, we're loading up a truck tomorrow and sending it to town.
You can check them out. Check them out on the website. You'll see what they're doing. But God bless you, and God bless all the
Alrighty.
People affected from these hurricanes.
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding about that. We need to continue keeping them in prayer and doing all. I mean, Florida's not even going to look the same. It's going to actually change the landscape there in Florida, the coastline. So, all righty. Well, God bless. Thanks for calling. And the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. We're having a little bit of problems tonight. With the calls, that's 888-677-9673.
You'll never guess who's on the line now.
Or a comment? Or let me see. It couldn't be. Is it?
Might be.
Let me. All righty.
Oh, no.
You're on the air.
Yeah. yeah, how you doing? Yeah, hopefully it's not too bad in Florida, but it doesn't sound good from what you're saying right now. One thing about the discussion with Wendy, the idea of kind of chasing people down and trying to identify if they're depressed or have mental problems. There were a couple of psychiatrists or psychologists that kind of outed their fellow people in their profession, saying a lot of them are using Ritalin and Adderall, and there's a third one, basically, to help them focus and stay competitive as shrinks or psychologists, psychiatrists. So essentially...
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because of that. You know, did you know that those shooters... These school shooters that just about every one of them were on either Ritalin or Adderall.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
That's interesting. That's interesting because basically what that comes down to is what they used to call speed on the streets. It's an upper. It's a street drug that they've made, you know, into a so-called pharmaceutical. So that's one thing. Another thing.
But what was the criticism? What were they criticizing? What did they have to say about it?
Well, they said that they basically, you know how people use caffeine to kind of wake them up and help them focus? They were using it as like a smart pill, the idea that it made them smarter and better able to focus as in their profession. So it was considered like almost something out of one of the, like Soma and that that one dystopian novel. They were using it as a smart pill. In other words, they were saying it made them smarter, doctors themselves. So, you know, the irony is it's a drug, and they wanted to stay competitive in their profession by using, so it's almost like the idea of a baseball player using steroids, you know, that idea to give an edge in their profession.
Do you think that was, they were giving Joe Biden something that before, you know, he would go to speak, there was some drug that they were giving him. We mentioned it before, one of the doctors for former president doctor he mentioned what it was, and I can't remember what it was, but they would shoot old Joe up before he goes out and has a press conference.
Right, something that would, you know, they call them like smart drugs or something like that. But I guess, you know, on a, to a lesser extent, caffeine's like that, you know, where you can focus better temporarily, but it does have a lot of side effects. Another thing that was interesting is they said Kamala Harris was on a podcast called Call Her Daddy. And,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
I listened to it, and the woman, I guess the podcast is popular with women. It's more of like a woman's podcast. I don't think the woman that hosts it focuses on abortion, but she had an episode on that, but she's got like 400 episodes, but she said, should I ask her about fracking and the border? And she said, no, I'll just go with woman's issues. It's only 40 minutes. So I'd say 10 to 15 minutes was on abortion. And Kamala Harris is saying, well, a good percentage of women that get abortions already have children. And it's too much to have an additional child financially or mentally. And they need the service of the abortion. And one thing that was curiously absent from the discussion was the idea of adoption. That was never considered an option. So that was one point that was interesting. That you know, like the juggernaut of the abortion industry is not even going to bring up the idea of a woman, you know, giving up a child via adoption. So that's one point. The other point was they brought up this woman in Georgia that went out of state to try and get an abortion, and there was like a long wait. She couldn't get it, so she ended up bleeding out and dying. But here's what they kind of brushed over. She took medication.
We covered that. We talked about that. She took the kill pill, yeah.
Yeah.
And it killed her,
out, and then she waited in an emergency room 20 hours. Now, that's something that the Biden team championed and I don't know if they got that through, but they wanted over the counter. And if you look at Google Scholar, there's tremendous side effects to that where it can kill the woman, including choking them and where the throat collapses. So, but again, this goes back to the FDA. The FDA put this through. And by when they did that, they defined pregnancy as an illness. So those were two takeaways, I would say.
You're right. First of all, you know, Cliff, they keep saying the constitutional right for an abortion. There is no such thing as a constitutional right. The Bill of Rights, the very first thing the Bill of Rights guarantees is to life. These women are liars. God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear. It doesn't stutter a bit. It tells you that when you kill that child in the womb, you deserve to die, and unrepentant women will burn in hell. That's what the Bible, this is what God has said. Now, the problem of it is the vast majority of preachers in this country don't have the courage to preach that. It's not a popular thing, and they're simply don't have the guts, the integrity to preach the truth the way it should be. And
they're also being exploited, a percentage of these women, too, because they don't, it's similar to the shots. People don't have a good background or an interest in biology and stuff like that. So, like you said, they told women that the child didn't have brains. Ironically, they smashed their brains in some of the abortions.
It's as evil as evil gets. It's evil. Yeah. It's pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in fact, the Bible says when you kill that child in the womb, you become the child's grave. You become the child's grave.
Yeah, but it's a juggernaut that the industry is not going to rout. And then one thing Kamala Harris said, also they give tests for breast cancer. They're trying to make it look like they're working for women's best interest. Planned Parenthood, basically. She tried to paint a portrayal of them as being. So that was one. one more thing I want to bring up, if you had time, is the Redacted News podcast had an Air Force major on. This was on October, I guess it was a couple of weeks back, that took a survey of people from the funeral parlors. And the average person was in the business 15 years, and they're saying that one in five dead bodies have these, of all dead bodies coming through, have those white fibrous clots in.
Well.
So that's literally, so you could say that one in five people, just from that alone, that are coming through the funeral homes are dead from the shots.
Well, they know over worldwide, over 20 million people have died worldwide over the shots. 20 million.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And they're covering that up. So, you know, and the other thing is he tried to do a survey of vascular surgeons, and they're saying when they're having surgery, like, say, even heart surgery, they're not able to suture. The tissue is too soft, and they can't really suture up the surgery. And you know, they're not saying anything about that because they're afraid of they'll lose their jobs. So that's a case of cowardice on the part of the of these surgeons that are seeing that they can't properly do the vascular surgery because of compromise to the tissue. So that's another thing that's out there.
Well, the medical profession as a whole has taken a real credibility shot.
Yeah.
In a major, major way. I mean, because of this, one of the reasons was with, when they get off with that drug that they were using, remdesivir.
Right.
That killed so many people, that remdesivir killed so many people. And the reason was because the doctors, I had some doctors tell me that they don't train them. They didn't know how to use it, you know. And they were, that you had to give it just a very small amounts and monitor it very closely. And, you know, the thing of it is, the problem with it was hydroxychloroquine did the same thing, cost 70 cents a dose. They were charging for remdesivir $1,000. And Big Pharma, and that's what, why, again, they were promoting that. And that's killed so many people at remdesivir.
Well, the hydroxychloroquine was over-the-counter in places like Nigeria. If you walked into a drugstore in Nigeria, you could just get it in the vitamin section for $10 and just buy it without a prescription. And then basically the CDC and Fauci vilified it through one fake study saying it damaged the heart. It had been on the market like 40 years, you know, so they could get through these shots.
Yeah, I know.
So the whole effort, this whole COVID scam is basically run by the U.S., unfortunately.
Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, it goes all the way back to the Pentagon. It goes back to the Pentagon. They were they were over Big Pharma, and it's really bad because Obama loaded the Pentagon down with communists.
Yeah. Yeah, and also here's another thing. In New York, there's only one proposition on the ballot, and it's the same as Ohio. It's to where in the schools, like, they can just have a student, you know, without consent of the parents, get a sex change operation, you know, as part of that, just one proposition. And that's kind of similar to the re-education camps in China, where they capture you and own you, basically. They bring you into these education centers for the weakers. So they're making schools like an education center where they own you, separate from the parents. And the state decides to indoctrinate you, and you know. But the argument they use is that if these children don't get these gender reassignment surgeries, they're going to commit suicide. That's the argument they put forth.
Well, you know, I tell you what, when I was growing up, we've always had tomboys and we've always had, you know, boys that were effeminate. And, but they always grew out of it. I mean, I knew some girls that were real tomboys. We had this girl named Patty when I was a kid. She beat up all the boys in the neighborhood. And but they grew out of it. You know, if you let nature take its course. But that, of course, there's no money in doing that. There's big money in going ahead and with these kids. You know, it's a horrible thing, you know, what they do with these kids. They mutilate them. And they tell them you can undo it, and you can't undo it.
No. But there had been an article going back a while on my site, news.com, Vanderbilt University was doing these gender reassignment surgeries, and it was some woman doctors were actually doing it for a breast removal. They were getting $40,000 per breast, so that's $80,000 for two. So basically, they're selling their souls to the devil to do this, to make the $80,000.
Yeah, and then later on, those girls want them, and they can't get them back.
Yeah, it's like the missing limb effect. Sometimes when people, say, lose a leg or something in a war, they feel, like, pain in the area where the leg was.
Yeah, they call that ghost pain. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, there. So... Yeah. Are you going to be...
And on the study, there was one thing and I never caught before. Luke said, this is somewhere in Acts, it's a later section of it, that Paul did special miracles. And I'm wondering, why would he say, have that word special? This is in the King James Version, before miracles. Wouldn't any miracle be special, in a sense? Or am I reading too much into that?
I can't remember where that's at. But
it's definitely in there. It's in the later section. It might be like chapter 19 or something like that, 18, 19 of Acts, where Paul did some miracles, and Luke has the word special. So, maybe I was looking at other versions, but looking at the King James Version, it has that. I just find that interesting that, special miracles, or maybe it was just special for the people, or, you know, I just find that interesting coupling those two words together.
Well, it would have to be before chapter 20, because I'm familiar with...
20 on, it might have been like in the 18-19 range.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to look it up and go back over it.
All righty. Yeah, when you find it, let me know and I'll comment on it.
Yeah, okay.
All righty.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay.
Thanks for calling. Okay. All righty. Again, phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll be back after this.
Sin is a burning thing. It has a deadly sting. Pleasure is a burning desire, but it will take you to the lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher, and you'll burn, burn, burn in that lake of fire. That lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. You'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire. That lake of fire. Christ is a saving king. He'll keep you from death's sting. Sin is a burning desire. Fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire. Don't fall into that burning lake of fire. You'll go down, down, down. The flames, they'll burn higher. And you'll burn, burn, burn. That lake of fire, that lake of fire.
Alrighty, don't fall into that burning lake of fire. This is what we've been preaching for years, folks, and I'm going to tell you, that song, I was singing that to a bunch of witches at Planned Parenthood, and they charged me for terrorizing them, terrorizing them. Let's go out to California with Vicky. Hey, Vicky, you're in the air. Are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Compared to what?
Compared to anything.
All right, I guess I'm okay then.
Good, I'm glad to hear it.
What can I do for you?
I have a question for you, and I hope you have an answer for it.
Me too.
Why are you so against a woman having an abortion if she needs one?
Because God's Word, the Bible, makes it very clear. It doesn't stutter. It says that abortion is murder. It's taking a human life, and He tells you in that when you've done that, you'd be better off to have a millstone hung around your neck and drowned. And in fact, it says you're better off if you'd never been born than to kill a child in the womb. And so I believe every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. That's why I am so against it. But when does a woman ever need an abortion?
That was my question.
There are lots of times that a woman needs an abortion.
That's
why
not true.
Why does a man need a blue pill called Viagra?
Now, wait a minute. Say that again.
Why does a man need a blue pill called Viagra?
A real man doesn't need a blue pill called Viagra. there you go.
There's thousands of those little blue pills being sold, and nobody's saying, don't take that.
It's not the same as a blue pill and a baby are two different things, you see. You can't kill a blue pill, but you can kill a baby.
You can always have a baby, no matter what your age is, if you take that little blue pill. So why take the blue pill?
Well, do you want to handle that one, Style?
Sorry, I was answering calls that were pretty upset. What was the question?
She wants to know, I don't know, say that again.
I said there are thousands of men taking a blue pill who can produce babies that shouldn't be doing so. So why should they be allowed to take a blue pill?
I'm not sitting here advocating for that either. I maybe that'll change in 40, 50 years, but as of right now, I've never advocated for that.
You know what? When I was growing up, okay, in order...
The question that I asked previously. If a woman needs an abortion, needs medical attention...
When?
Why shouldn't she be allowed to get it?
Because women don't need abortions. That
you don't know that.
Well, hang on.
Yes, I
talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Go ahead,
Dish
Style.
Are you a medical doctor?
Hang on. No, I talked about this 2 weeks ago on the show. So the percentage of women that medically need abortions for life-saving surgery is less than 1%. That is also the same statistic of fatal car accidents. That'd be like saying we have to ban cars and licenses because there's less than 1% statistic of fatal car accidents.
No, that's 100% wrong.
That it's not, because cesarean sections exist.
There are hundreds of women that cannot carry a baby through 9 months.
Okay, let me explain something to this. See, women don't get pregnant on their own. If they could put their lips together and say the word no, okay, They don't have to. They don't have to get pregnant. But once they're pregnant, here's what God has said. God has said that that child belongs to him, and that if you are find yourself pregnant with a child, then you are responsible for that child. God holds you responsible. So your argument is not with us. Your argument is with God. I suggest you get a Bible and read it.
I have no problem with God. God is a gentle God. God loves everybody.
God is a holy God, and that's why God will punish sin, and he makes it very clear. He doesn't study or stutter. So, again, when he tells you to kill it, there's never a good reason to kill a child, not ever.
I'm sorry, Jesus was put on this earth to help people. You're not helping a person if they need medical attention. And you're not allowed
now
to
that you know what it sounds like to me, like I'm dealing with a guilty conscience. Am I dealing not be truthful and don't lie, just tell me the truth. Am I dealing with a guilty conscience here?
No, absolutely not. I believe in helping people. It seems like you don't want to help a person who needs medical help.
I think he's helping babies.
Die, then give her medical help that she needs.
Okay, so if I'm helping babies not to be having their brains sucked out while they're alive or their little hearts cut out while they're alive, if I'm helping them do that, I'm not helping a person?
No. That's a lie that you penetrated just to sell this abortion thing that you have going on.
No, listen to me. You need to repent. Go to Genesis chapter 9, find the Bible, and read verses 5 through 7.
For.
Oh, all right.
Nothing to repent for.
Oh, absolutely boy.
Nothing.
Okay. Tell that to the Lord. Thanks for calling.
If I get up there, we'll have a long conversation.
Unless you repent, you're not going to get up there. So
we have Katie now on the line, who's a registered nurse, who wants to comment on that.
Okay, Katie, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie, and hello to everyone. I just had a couple of comments. The first beginning half of this conversation is that's an irrational equation about the blue pill, Viagra. I agree. It is giving men passage to perhaps they shouldn't be having sex, but that's got nothing to do with once you've created a baby inside of you and then taking that baby's life because you're scared, you made a bad decision. It's not convenient. You're going to get in trouble. You know, Pastor Ernie, there's a lot of people that aren't Christians, so they don't think the same way, and they hear only condemnation. And I think that's what this woman is getting to. But she needs to know that that is a baby's life, and that's just as sacred. What if that's a little girl in there? Well, you just murdered that little girl because you could always have another one, true. But you murdered someone. That's a sacred life in there. And there isn't any such instant, less than 1%, no, where you need to decide the mother or the child. This is not a 1955 black and white TV movie created for entertainment in Hollywood. We don't have abortion clinics for women that are having an emergency aborted fetus, like where they can't hold the baby anymore. And if you have a high-risk pregnancy, you can go to any of the OBGs or hospitals or staffing in San Diego. We have Rady's Children's Hospital and a Mary Birch Center for high-risk pregnancies where women can't hold that baby to full term. And there are tons of people that would love to adopt a baby. So there really isn't any reason. And as women, God gave us, whether you believe in God or not, I do. I know he's my creator. He's everyone's creator, whether they believe it or not. But God gave us as women a privilege and a responsibility. Should men be more responsible? Yes, of course they should. Are they today? Not many. That's part of the worldly judge system that wanted to kick God out and the Ten Commandments, and they didn't want any of God. So now we're left to our own druthers. We've created this mess of civilization in the United States and the world that we made for ourselves. But we have a responsibility as women to take care of our bodies. Whether you're going to go out and sin indiscriminately, then you need to be responsible. You can't murder other people, whether inside of you or out. You're going to be held accountable one day. And the only thing I can say out of that is at least the baby that was murdered will be in heaven because God will accept that baby. But what a tragedy to know later on that that was not what they told you in public school. That was not what they told you at the abortion clinic or Planned Parenthood. It's not a thing growing inside of you. It's not a skin tag. It's a human being with a heartbeat that actually needs their mother, and they hear their mother's voice, and they know who she is. It's really a horrible thing that has been put upon young women with scales on their eyes from the public school system. And there are a lot of people that don't go to church today, so don't make that assumption that everybody lives under the biblical Old and New Testament. A lot of these people are as uneducated about God as a feral cat that runs across the street.
Well, you're right. Let me just say this, okay? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And yes, you know that these women, these young girls that kill their babies, they're 7 times more likely to commit suicide than their counterparts. 7 times more likely to commit suicide, okay? That tells you something right there. And again, like you said, we have for every single baby that's up for adoption, there's over like 34 couples trying to adopt that one baby, okay? So there's never a reason to. And there are people out there that will take babies even if they're, you know, deformed or whatever. They'll be glad to take that baby. And like I said, that child does not, that woman that just called, God says that child belongs to him, okay? And when you find yourself carrying that child, then you have a responsibility to that child, to care for that child. God has placed that child in you, and you have that responsibility to raise him and show compassion on that. And just like here, you know, when they talk about, well, what if it's rape? Frank O'Harris was a product of rape. Ethel Waters was a product of rape. You ask any of those people that were products of rape if they thought that they should have been killed, and guess what they'll tell you? No. And so there you go. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said life is sacred. I'm agreeing with you 100%.
Yeah.
But a lot of worldly people have never heard this thing. They've been hearing a lot that you may not realize in public school that's completely alien to what we believe as Christians.
Oh, believe me, I know. I used to go and actually speak in public schools. And
but they won't allow that anymore for about 20 years now. You know, they don't want anybody in school or university. They don't want any opposition. So these kids are actually almost like little aliens themselves when they're pumped out at 18 from high school. It's why they're walking little Marxists, because they're gaslit from kindergarten on. And a lot of these young parents that are 40 years old and younger are uneducated because they came from public schools themselves. It's like we've let this go almost 2 generations now, and we're in the thick of it. I truly do think we're really in closer than I ever thought to the end times. I really didn't, as bad as everything else was and COVID, and you could see the writing on the wall and what's going on with Israel. I just think 10,000 years is like one day to the Lord. But between these hurricanes and what people know so little about God, I think we're getting really close.
Well, you're right. This is what I've been telling people. You know, come January, we'll be on the air 51 years. And for 51 years, we've been preaching the pro-life message. And people keep saying to me, God's judgment's coming. And I keep telling them, don't you understand? God's judgment's here, and his arm is stretched out still. This is what it means. It means his judgment has come. Look, we have over 100,000 children in this country just in the past year died from fentanyl alone. Then you have almost 500,000 children that are missing. 500,000 children, okay? And there's estimated over 200,000 have been killed, okay? And they're, you know, either by... Yeah. And so, and with that, You know, I mean, yeah, God's judgment, but people don't understand. And I don't believe that you can be pro-death, that you can be in favor of abortion and be a Christian. You can't be saved because that would grieve the Holy Spirit to such a degree. So anyone who tells me that they're a Christian and they're pro-death, of course, they use the word pro-choice, but no child's ever chosen to have his little heart ripped out while he's alive.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I living by the border, I've known about human trafficking long before it became well-known. You know, it was President Trump that actually brought it out in the public. A lot of people, of course, aren't going to give him that credit. But he was the one about one of the main reasons why he wanted to shut the border. And as for the fentanyl, I have only one thing to say, and I don't mean to sound so judgmental and critical, but it is what it is. And this is just simply my opinion and nobody else's. You know, the fentanyl problem would go away in large part if people's children stopped taking the drugs. Stop taking drugs. I heard an angry father whose teenage son died of fentanyl, and he was so outraged, his son thought he was taking a lesser drug. Well, here's what your kids should be taking. Nothing. Nothing.
Right, right.
Soda pop and water. Then you don't have to mistake your marijuana for fentanyl or your methamphetamine or cocaine or whatever kind of crazy drug that's out there that I don't know about. But what is your kid doing in the first place? You know, I it's certainly not perfect. And now my son is in his late 30s. So he's a grown young adult now. And I thank God I got discredited through so much. Staying home as a full-time staying home mother, and I scrimped and saved and cut coupons and kept an old beater car, and I sent my son to private Christian schools. I have no idea what they're like today, but I'm convinced that and being a full-time mother, and God bless women that absolutely can't. But I wasn't going to go back to work so my husband could have a better golf putter.
I hear you. Well, God bless you for that. That's, you know, you are, there's a word for that called a lady. And I praise the good Lord for ladies. That's why the church I pastor is filled with real ladies. And these feminists, you can't be a feminist and a lady. They're, you just can't be. They're just two different things. But thanks for calling. Is Pastor Hal on the line?
Yep, I got Pastor Hal right here since we're coming up on time.
How much time does he have?
We got just about 6 minutes.
Okay, Pastor Hal, you got about 6 minutes. Go for it. Don't forget the folks in Florida.
In regards to what you were talking about, it said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That's what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God sanctified him while he was in the womb. God don't sanctify things. He sanctifies people. That shows you that Jeremiah, as a baby, was a living, breathing human being with his own soul. And so when a woman commits genocide on her own children in the womb, when she kills her own kids, she's murdering a living human being that God knows personally that has their own soul and that goes back to be with Jesus after they're murdered by their own mother. And then what a shame that a woman has lost her own natural affection for her children to do something like that. But, you know, what's even worse, though, is when, you know, a person dies and he dies lost without God, without Christ, and goes to hell for all eternity. See, God don't want nobody to go to hell because it says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But God's leaving that choice up to you. When the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means Adam sinned, sin came into the world, all of us became infected by that sin, and God said the penalty for sin is spiritual death, which is dying lost and going out into darkness, going into hell. And so God wants you to come to heaven. He created you to come to heaven and have fellowship with him. And the Bible tells us that God loves us, but he hates our sins. God wants us to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that will wash away your sins is the precious blood of Christ. That's why Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. So it's the blood of Christ that washes away your sins. God allowed Jesus on that cross to transfer your sin and mine onto his son Jesus in full. So when Jesus said, it is finished, that meant all the work necessary for your redemption and mine has been accomplished, has been done. We can't do anything to add to it. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. You can either ask Jesus to come into your heart and receive that payment, and you do it with a repentant heart if you really want to get saved. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, which means if you don't tell God you're sorry about your sin and mean it, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, then you're not going to get saved. You got to come to Jesus with repentance about your sins and ask him to come into your heart, and the Bible promises you salvation. And like I said before, God hates sin. His righteousness demands sin be paid for. He can't just look the other way and pretend you never sinned just because he loves you. But he presented that love to you in the form of his son, Jesus. And the old saying is, when light is rejected, and Jesus is the light of the world, when light is rejected, it becomes lightning. So you have a chance right now where you're living, breathing, and hearing this message to receive the payment Jesus paid for you on that cross. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift to you. Jesus did all the work. Now he's offering you what he did for you on that cross is a free gift. It's a love gift. Jesus loves you. God loves you, and he's presenting that love to you in the form of his son, Jesus. But if you reject Jesus as your Savior, then there goes that love gift, and you stand before God as a guilty sinner. Now, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the sinner's prayer in Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call means to pray. That's you talking to God. God hears me talking to you right now. Right now he's knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But he's leaving it up to you whether you will open up that door from the inside and let him come in and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross, or whether you'll just ignore it or try and get there your own way or some other crazy thing. But now, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's telling God you're not interested in what Jesus did for you on the cross, and he's committing suicide where your soul's concerned. If you want to get right with God, do it right now in a simple prayer of faith. And as a preacher, I'd be glad to lead you to Jesus in a simple prayer. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God. If you want Jesus in your heart, if you want eternal salvation, if you want to get saved God's way and not some other way, then let's pray right now. Dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I here and now confess unto you that I've sinned in thought, word, and deed. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood to pay the righteous payment for my sins that had to be paid for. And I here and now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins, wash me in your precious blood, and give me eternal life, which is why you died on that cross, to restore me to fellowship with you and with your God the Father. Give me eternal life right now, and I believe I've received it, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you prayed that prayer in your heart and you meant it, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life.
Amen. We're out of time for tonight, so okay. but thanks for that prayer for you folks out there. So we want to say thanks for being here. We want to say good night. We want to say God bless. And then until tomorrow, we want to say always. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.